good morning and welcome to Real Truth for Today. Pastor Jeff Shreve here, the pastor of First Baptist Church in Texarkana, Texas, and the founder of From His Heart Ministries. From His Heart is heard every weeknight at 6 p.m. Central Time right here on American Family Radio. Well, when is the last time you had a good laugh? You know, the Bible says that a merry heart does good like a medicine. And today we have a very special guest who has made people laugh for years and years and years. She is a comedian second to none, and her name is Shonda Pierce. Surely you've heard of Shonda Pierce. Shonda Pierce has sold more comic albums than any other female comedian in history. And that is pretty awesome, to say the least. So, Shonda, welcome to the program today.
Thank you very, very much. I am honored to be here. I really am.
Shonda, you have had an amazing career. So, how old were you when you first started in comedy?
Well, you know, Mother says she used to rent me out to Sunday school parties when I was 3 or 4 years old. But I don't believe it. You know, I look back in my high school years, you know, I was a theater arts major in college. So I was always drawn to the funny roles. Every play I auditioned for and everything I did, I always liked the little humor of it. But it wasn't really until I was newly married, I mean a week married, and I got a job at a theme park in Nashville. I was 23 years of age. And the only show they could put me in gave the history of country music by impersonating people. And to tell you the truth, I knew very little about country music. And I certainly didn't even know who Minnie Pearl was. But that's the role I got. I had to memorize these jokes. And it just simply, I just fell in love with comedy. And I would start throwing in little, you know, jokes I heard growing up or stories about myself and my brother and sisters. You know, in church, my boss would say, "That's really funny, but it didn't happen in Grinders, which you can't tell it." And I just fell in love with the role. You know, and I used to find it so interesting, Pastor Jeff, because when I first started out, my testimony was about my conversion, of course, but it was always about, I would do a little mini pearl. I would take my hat off and say, you know, I'm not really her, but I find it fascinating that in the providence of God, he found me a job where five times a day, six days a week, I had to make a group of people laugh when life for me was not that funny. And I had been through some tragedy. And I look back at the beginnings, you know, if my testimony was the same, I think we would have to question my growth in the Lord. But since it has grown, it's gone from that early experience all the way to, to today. But I do find it interesting that the Lord really did find me a job where laughter was so needed in order to get a paycheck, but it was so needed in my spirit.
Mm-hmm. Well, your brother, Mike Courtney, is your brother, and he runs, he's executive director at Branches, which is
right.
Is a ministry that you have helped him found, helps a lot of people.
Right.
Mike told me that your stand-up for you is very therapeutic. Is that correct?
I think it has been. I really, you know, I can look back at the years before some great mental healing, and I can remember the times when some of my stand-up was a little bit of a jab, you know, or it was a deflection of what was really going on the inside. A lot of comics will misuse stand-up comedy in that way. It just deflects the pain of their day. It deflects the pain of their past. And so they fall in love with the art of comedy. I can remember jokes I used to tell that I've just dropped out of my repertoire a lot because when personal healing comes along, it's like, I really don't need that one anymore. And I know the condition of my heart when I said it, you know? And so I just don't want that in my, you know, lineup anymore. And that comes with great healing and people that help you through the healing process.
So, Shonda, when you do a show, do you have in your head, okay, I'm gonna tell this story, this story, this story, or are you kind of, do you have a lot of plug and play stories where it's just like, however this is flowing, I'll just go with this one?
That's a whole lot of, that's exactly a lot of what I do. But I will say this, in 32 years of doing this, my manager sure wishes I would write something down.
Okay, so you don't...
I've never had a set list, you know. It's been interesting. I get, in my mind, before I leave home and get on a bus, before I record a video or any of that, it seems like the Lord always gives me how I want the day to end, how I want the video to end, how I want the show to end. There's always that little nugget of truth. Sometimes it's something the Lord's doing in my life, something I just walked through. If it was depression or menopause or whatever that was, I had this little nugget of truth that I wanted to share with somebody. And then I would find a song that works with that or a story that works with that and work completely backwards. So I would begin the show with that theme in mind. And that's how I've done my entire 32-year career. Now, from the beginning to the end, there's a lot of space in there that probably needs to be tightened up a little bit.
Well, okay, so a couple of stories I can tell on you that I thought was just precious. But the first time you were here, it was during Time Change. We had just had, I think, Time Change. And so there was a clock on the stage, but it was an hour off. And you were going by that clock. And do you remember this?
On and on forever.
It was entertaining. I mean, you're amazing that you could go for that long. But I was just like, she keeps looking at that clock. She's thinking, man, this this time is going by slow. And then
I know, that's exactly right.
Yeah, that was fun. And then the other time you were here, we had a power outage. I don't know.
Oh, that's.
Do you remember that?
Yep. And I just yelled.
you are the perfect person for that because you're able to just kind of roll with the flow and
right.
You're not rigid.
Yes. Man, that is so funny. You know, 30 years of doing this, it's hard to remember places and, you know, faces. And
sure.
I can remember what. I can walk in a sanctuary and can remember if I've been there or not, you know.
Right.
But there are a handful of places that stays on your mind, and that's one of them.
Oh, well, good.
Yeah.
Well, Shonda, you may have heard this before, but Johnny Carson said that he hated to interview Bob Hope. Because he said Bob Hope was so structured that you had to ask him these questions because everything, all his jokes were, you know, programmed in. He couldn't just go off the cuff. And I think it says a lot about a comedian that can just go off the cuff. That's a person that's, to me, is genuinely funny. And you're able to do that.
I appreciate that. You know, it is... I didn't realize what a sweet gift that was from the Lord until you get deep into this job. And you're right. There are a lot of comedians that aren't that funny in an interview because they have the ABC of what they write down, what they want to talk about, and they're constantly working on their bits.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know. For me, I got very comfortable in my own skin. You know, about 15, 20 years ago, I just figured out, this is just who I am, and I have to, one, trust the Lord that the words will be there, and secondly, just trust your instinct. And I think a lot of that, now this sounds very prejudiced, I think a lot of that just comes from a sweet knowledge of your Creator. There's a lot of stand-up comics out there that struggle with drugs and alcohol. Mm. They're trying to mimic that euphoria of standing in front of a stage. But my foundation in Christ and the Word of God, I think, is what changes everything, even for the delivery of my comedy.
Mm. That is so good. Okay, let me ask you this, because your first film, Laughing in the Dark, and it said on your website it was based on your personal struggle to overcome depression, and it's the behind-the-scenes journal chronicling your downward spiral dealing with the devastating loss of your mom, an estranged daughter, and the tragedy of your husband's battle with alcoholism and subsequent death, all in the course of 3 years. So how did you perform with all that on you?
You know, I didn't for a while. You know, there's a time you just have to stay home. And then there's a time that the mortgage company calls and says, you need to go back to work. You know, and so you move in carefully. I when I wrote a book called Laughing in the Dark, there was a statement I always make that says, rehearse in the dark what you learned in the light. And so the comedy that I learned, the jokes that I know that work, the stories that I know a crowd enjoys, those didn't change. So I had already rehearsed many times, you know, those things. And so when I'm in the dark, I just do what I know works when I was in a light place. That same thing lends itself for everything in your life. We're in a world that's filled with ups and downs. We're going to have great days and bad days. But when you're having a bad day, you don't stop and not go get your kids from school. you know what I mean? You still have to get in the car and go get your kids from school. So you're rehearsing in the dark what you know works in the light. And that's how my whole career was. I stayed home for a bit. Had some wonderful counselors that I talked to. My brother, of course, was instrumental in helping me through some of those dark times. I think we helped each other through some of those dark times. And so, and when I could physically do it, it was time to go back to work. And for me and my audience, I became very aware of widowhood, and that the hundreds and hundreds of widows out there that I felt like probably never really paid attention to or realized how devastating that is until it happened. And then you get in your heart that you want to minister to them, because I realized, man, this, no wonder Jesus said, take care of the widows and orphans. Mm-hmm. He knew this was going to be a really, really tough thing for a woman.
Mm. That's so good. Well, I would imagine that gave people a lot of on-ramps into your life, because it's like Shonda knows what it's like to be me, and she's experienced the same hurts that I have. That just endears you to people, doesn't it?
I hope so. You know, that's the greatest gift that we can give is, I always say when I die, I want it said at my funeral that Shonda knew there was a pothole in the road and she warned us about it. You know, and it's just, that's just so true. I think the Bible is filled with people that went through something and then turned around and told the next person.
Right.
So that our testimonies are alive and ongoing. You know, there's not been a lot of change in that relationship with my daughter. And people would probably choose me to never, ever mention it. You know, I've heard, she just doesn't like it. And I don't mention it very often. When you brought it up in the bio, it is a pain that never goes away. But once in a blue moon, when someone asks or says something about it, then I have to tell the truth.
Right.
And in that, I can tell you of the hundreds of emails and letters that you get from families struggling with those same types of issues. And that is where ministry is. Ministry is not always easy. I think true ministry comes sometimes out of our greatest pain.
That's so true. Well, we're talking to Shonda Pierce. You're listening to Real Truth for Today, and I'm your host, Pastor Jeff Shreve. We'll be right back. Don't go away.
Here at the AFA Foundation, we help families just like yours shore up permanent income for their retirement years through our charitable gift annuities.
AFA Foundation's Associate Director, Chelsea Wildman.
We would love to work with you to see if a charitable gift annuity is right for your situation. With a charitable gift annuity, you'll be giving to the culture-transforming work of the American Family Association, and you'll be ensuring that you receive a lifetime income and excellent tax benefits. You can fund a CGA through cash, credit card, or stock. Why not reach out to the AFA Foundation team today?
A charitable gift annuity benefits you and helps ensure the AFA will impact America for generations to come. Call 800-326-4543, extension 345. That's 800-326-4543, extension 345.
Give us a call and let's talk about a charitable gift annuity.
Sovereignty of God exalts the importance of one person because God uses everybody in His plan. He has no throwaways. Nobody is meaningless in the providence of God, and so you are important.
Join Dr. David Jeremiah for his series, Esther, for Such a Time as This, next time on Turning Point.
5:30 a.m. and 7 p.m. Central on American Family Radio.
Hello, I'm Don Hawkins, here to tell you about Encouragement Live, 55 minutes of industrial strength radio encouragement featuring resourceful guests plus practical biblical insights to help you face life's challenges. We'll be taking your phone calls, so plan to join us for Encouragement Live, Saturdays at 7:05 p.m. Central, 8:05 p.m. Eastern, here on American Family Radio.
Your healthcare is just that. It's your healthcare. It's yours. You are unique. God made you. So instead of being a number in a system, think about being a part of a community, one made for you. MediShare is healthcare sharing. It's not health insurance. It's a community of Christians who actually care about you and the things that matter most to you, like your convictions. You want to know your money isn't paying for things you don't believe in. Instead, now you're sharing, you're helping real people, not a corporate bottom line. And when you have a need, they're there for you. Other MediShare members and staff even praying for you. For 30 years, MediShare has meant affordable, reliable healthcare. And when everything else seems to be getting more corporate and more impersonal, this is a breath of fresh air. And it may be just what you have been looking for. Call now. They're very easy to talk to. 833-44-BIBLE. That's 833-44-BIBLE. 833-44-BIBLE.
Welcome back to Real Truth for Today. Pastor Jeff Shreve here. We're talking to comedy legend Shonda Pierce. And Shonda's been sharing about her life and about her 32-year career on the stage. And she is an amazing comedian, has sold more comedic albums than any other female comedian in history. And she has written 8 books and then had a movie special called Laughing in the Dark. Let me ask you about that, Shonda. How did that come about, to put that in the theater?
You know what was interesting? I had been doing this for a while, but I always laugh and go, there's been 3 documentaries I've done and I'm still alive. I always thought documentaries were about people that were dead, you know?
Mm-hmm.
But we were in the middle of just really filming a behind the scenes of my comedy world. And a lot of it was when I got the award as the most awarded female comic in history. I had this wonderful manager who's from Beverly Hills, California, and his firm managed Billy Crystal and Robin Williams and all these people. And his goal for this documentary was to show the world who I was, the Hollywood world and the people in the comedy world that may not know, in mainstream comedy, that didn't know who I was. That's kind of what we set out to do. And we mentioned to a guy, Rick Altizer, who had directed and filmed it, and said, you know, I could trust you with my story. He was a wonderful believer. He's been a great filmmaker. But anyway, and I felt like I could trust him with the story of my sisters and my parents and all of that, because that was kind of the side note of the troubles that I had been through. And in the midst of that, this crisis hit with our family. And my husband began to spiral into alcoholism. And we had the cameras rolling, and sometimes on the late night, you're on the bus, and he would ask you a question, and I would just tell the truth, and I would just, it just unfolded, and it's hard. Mm-hmm. I remember when it debuted in the movie theaters, I leaned over to my son. I said, "Good Lord, Mother's life is horrible." He goes, duh. You know, it's not a pretty picture. You know, it's very raw. It's very real. I haven't watched it in a while. I think it would be hard again to watch. Mm-hmm. But it was real, and it sparked a flame with an audience that I didn't know I had. People even in the church going through very dark and difficult times, mm-hmm. It shined a light on mental wellness that I think needed to be out there for the church world. And I just feel like it was one of those God thing moments that we captured some stuff on film we didn't realize. My husband and I were doing well and working through our issues, and he was sober for a bit, and it looked like we were all, you know, ready to roll back into life, and he died suddenly with a terrible stroke. And so we had a whole new ending. We had to go back and redo the whole ending, you know, change some things up. And I just walked through those days just as raw and real, you know, as I'm talking to you now. And it struck a chord with a lot of folks. I think, you know, Pastor Jeff, if I could be so honest, I've been in the church all of my life. I've been working mainly in the Christian market. I have seen every type of church and building and worship music and all of it. I do think we went through a time in the church world where we were working really hard to make God look good. Mm-hmm. And I want to go, God doesn't need help with his reputation.
Right.
He needs you to be real and authentic. Mm-hmm. So the people that need to know him know they do not have to come to him in a pristine, beautiful life. They come to him in their brokenness, and then look what he does with it.
Well, okay, now growing up, I mean, your dad was very dysfunctional as a pastor.
Yes.
That had to really just be so difficult to be able to tell what is real and what is not, what's real Christianity and what's fake, because you guys were kind of just trained in fake, weren't you?
Absolutely. You know, my my brother has said often, I've heard him say it, we lived our life where you got off the school bus, you weren't quite sure which dad you were going to run into. You know, he suffered greatly from, you know, I heard later in life from mother that he was manic depressive, borderline schizophrenic is what she said he was diagnosed by a doctor up in Pennsylvania. And I look back, although, you know, at that time we didn't know that's what's going on. I think it was a great relief to find out there was some mental illness at play, because if you didn't find that out, I would just think he was mean,
right?
You know,
right.
Or he was just really, you know, a jerk. But exactly right. Hypocrisy of what was going on in our home was not the beautiful prayer service every night before we go to bed. And it was not, you know, the man who's studying a sermon. You know, it was very dysfunctional. And it's interesting that our childhood, because you're a friend of my brother, I always say this on a stage and I've said it in front of him, our dysfunctional childhood manifests itself in our lives in two different ways. He never talked about it much ever growing up. He didn't want to talk about it. It was painful for him, I think. He wanted to just push it all away from him. But that dysfunction manifests itself in his life to addiction. And it manifests itself in my life into depression. Mm-hmm. Both of those things had to get dealt with before we could be whole human beings. And we've both written our stories. And we both look at it from different viewpoints, because one, he's really old. You know, he's almost 10 years older than I am, and I love saying it.
Yeah.
You know, yeah. So he had years ahead of me of how he's going to deal with it. I had my years and how I dealt with it. And both of us came out of that with a longing to help other people walk on that same road behind us.
Okay, now, if memory serves, Shonda, you had another sister that passed away at what age?
Mike was the oldest. Then my big sister, Charlotta, was killed in a car accident. And then my little sister, Sherilyn, who was younger than I'm the middle girl. Sherilyn, at 15, died with leukemia.
Okay. Yeah.
And so those were two big blows within about 19 or 20 months of each other. And in that midst of that, my father left. And then also my brother left because he got married and moved away. And I used to tease and go, and I still haven't forgiven him, but I sure do like his wife.
Yeah. You know, when you were here, she was your piano player, I think, or she was with you.
Yeah. Many years. She's on the road with me about 15 years. And I miss her still. I still miss her.
Yeah, she's a sweetheart for sure. Okay, let me ask you this. Growing up, you know, you have a bent toward comedy. Who was your favorite? Who was your favorite female comedian as a kid growing up?
Probably Carol Burnett.
Okay.
I just loved her sketches. Yeah, I had, the funny thing is, I had every Bill Cosby LP, you know, the vinyl record. I had all of his projects. As a matter of fact, I think my brother, I inherited a few of them from my brother. But I used to love listening to him over and over, and he was just masterful storyteller. I hate that his legacy is now so tarnished by sin, but those stories were so fun and so funny. And I loved Carol Burnett and her funny sketches, and then she'd have, you know, a little stand-up, and then she'd have time with the audience, and she'd always tug at her ears and say goodnight. But she would always end the show with a little more tender than it really was a giant laugh. And I loved that, you know?
Yeah. Yeah, she was great. She had a great team with Harvey Korman and Tim Conway. And
yes, she did.
And so that was a popular show for sure. Okay, so I watched a video one time about Rodney Dangerfield, and it said he forced himself to write jokes, you know, and his comedy was all those just little one-liners, but he forced himself to sit down at the table and just write out jokes. How do you come up with your material, and do you force yourself to say, okay, 2 hours, I'm going to work on this?
Lord, I tell you, my manager would love to force me to sit down and write jokes. At this stage in my career, and I probably did several times growing up, I mean, growing through this, my husband was a great writer for me. And I would think of something funny and he would add to it. And before long, we had about a good 15-minute bit, you know. And then when he passed, you know, it's been almost 10 years, I haven't put pen to paper like I should, but I will say, getting comfortable with myself, I create more comedy on the spot in front of people.
Right.
And that shocks my manager to death. He just doesn't believe how I could do that. And I figured that's how all comedians do it. But I've had a chance to get to know, you know, some of the great, you know, mainstream comics, and none of them do it that way.
No.
Most of them study it and write it and work it out and sweat over it. And I'm like, really?
Yeah. It's amazing. We like Jim, my wife and I like Jim Gaffigan a lot. He's fairly clean. But his are all scripted because he tells them the same way every single time. And as I mentioned to you, I love the fact that yours is very natural. It's very off the cuff. It's like if I sat down and had coffee with Shonda, she would just be funny and we would just be talking and she's not giving me a script.
Yes, I hope so. If comedy is done well, anybody in the audience thinks, oh, I could do that. You know what I mean? If you do it well, we make it look like anybody could do it. There's a real meaning behind the madness most of the time. If you and I sit down and probably had a cup of coffee together, I would have some funny one-liners just because it would be funny. Something would be said. A waitress could have dropped something. You know what I mean? You would just go off the cuff. But we would also have a very serious discussion about what's going on in the church today and how's the kids and how's your mama and them, you know, and I think that's how I like to script my night, is that I'm in a room with a bunch of girlfriends and we're just talking about the silliest things. And then before the night, I get to tell them something that the Lord's working in my heart and in my life, you know.
Now, do you prefer to be in front of an audience of women, or do you like it when it's mixed?
I like it when it's just women.
Do you?
I mean, it's a free country. I can't kick the men out. But most, you know, look at it this way. I'm a 63-year-old woman that's lived through menopause and widowhood and spanks, you know, all the things that I can relate to a female audience. I remember when I first met my hotshot Hollywood manager, I sent him some of my video, and the first thing he said, he called his wife and said, "What the world is a Spanx?" So I like it when it's just women that we can relate. I tease the men, you know, but I love when they come because they might learn a few things.
Yeah, that's true. I did. I learned some things. And I have noticed that about your comedy really is targeted. Women really get it. And men have to kind of think about it a little bit. So, okay, you're very comfortable in your skin. And I think that is a great, that's a great trait. And I think all Christians need to be comfortable in who we are, how the Lord has made us. But that doesn't just come, you know, on day one. So did you have some times on stage where maybe you got embarrassed or I'm not sure what to say here, some of those early days, or was that all just pretty natural for you?
You know, a lot of it was natural only because of growing up in the church. You know, if you grew up a preacher's kid in the South, you're teaching Sunday school and leading the choir and folding the church bulletins before you're 5 years old. You know, you're just, you are used to being in front of the church crowd. My mother was great on us, you know, singing together, and my brother and I, we all grew up, you know, our little family singing together all the time. So that part of it came naturally. I look back and my little sister was a little more shy than the rest of us. My brother, oh, I got to tell this on him, because he, you know, before he went through a great amount of healing, he used to always say about me, "Shonda wants to be the bride at every wedding and the corpse at every funeral," you know, and everybody would laugh at everything. And I, you know, at first I had to own it because that's what middle children are. If I wasn't that, I couldn't do my job, but it would tick me off sometimes. And he went through this great healing, became a doctor of psychology, and now he will never say that again. He just says, "That was unfair. I should have never said that."
Yeah.
You know,
I'm gonna have to use that. I like that line.
I do too. I think it just comes with the comfortableness of being in front of people, and I think I got that from the church. Now, early on, mother would find what we were all great at doing, and she would help us pursue that. And my mother would drag me to community theater to audition. I would, you know, we all had to play an instrument, and work in the church. And in high school, I was in all the plays, you know, and so all of that, being in front of the crowd came easy.
Mm-hmm.
I've learned that I have a very bad lack of boundaries. And so what comedy is so subjective, let me say it that way. Sometimes what I think is absolutely hilarious from a Baptist crowd, crickets will be chirping real quickly. You know what I mean? And then you go to a different denomination or a different theater or something, and the joke will be hilarious. And so it's really hard to figure out what, you know, and I know there's an appropriateness across the board, but for me, I'm in a room full of women, and so I might talk about my depends and pee in my pants, and it might not be ready to hear that in the Methodist church.
Yeah. Yeah. Well, we've been talking.
That's the hard part.
That's the hard part. Well, Shonda, I want to thank you so much for being my guest today. You are a joy, and I look forward to having you back at First Baptist Texarkana sometime before too long.
Thank you so much, Pastor. I count on it. I'll see you soon.
Okay. God bless you. Well, we're up against a break, so don't go away.
What does the American Family Association stand for?
We believe that our ministry, as well as everything in the heavens and on earth, belongs to God, and our role is that of a trusted manager.
These values and more are part of our mission to inform, equip, and activate individuals to strengthen the moral foundations of our culture. We also support the church. We want to be a leading organization in biblical worldview training for cultural transformation. Thank you for standing with us.
I'm calling from Richmond, Virginia, and I'm a faithful listener.
Wherever you are, however you listen, we'd love to hear your AFR story.
I now believe, I actually do believe in Christ, and I'm just so grateful.
Call 877-876-8893 and give us a minute or two about AFR in your life. Have we encouraged your faith? Have we taught you something? Call today so we can do the same for others. That's 877-876-8893.
Persecuted believers in Asia, they love their enemies and they count it all joy to suffer for the Lord. This is Bible League International. Abir is a former Islamic leader in Bangladesh. When he became a believer, he was beaten, verbally abused, his home was vandalized, he was forced to move to another city, and he was labeled a traitor. But he holds to the precious promises of God he reads every day in his Bible.
I asked Abir, you were beaten, you were cast out. It's so easy to hate people that do this to you. He said, no, I love them.
Most of us here in America cannot relate to the level of persecution that Christians like Abir in Bangladesh and others throughout Asia are facing on a daily basis. Let's send them the word of God they need and crave to be able to endure and persevere. And that's why we're holding this campaign, Fan the Flame. $5 sends a Bible, $100 sends 20 every gift matched. Call 800-YES-WORD, 800-YES-WORD, or give it sendbiblesnow.org. Sendbiblesnow.org. And God bless you for caring.
Here's Rob West of Faith and Finance, heard here daily on American Family Radio.
I'd like to take a moment to ask you to consider investing in the ministry that you know as American Family Association. For over 40 years, American Family Association has been on the front lines in the battle for the future of our great nation. They continue to stand for the biblical principles America was founded upon. One way you can support AFA's efforts is through your estate planning. Why not explore the benefits of including AFA in your estate planning? You can shore up permanent income for your retirement years while supporting the culture-transforming work of the American Family Association. Contact Riley Wildman and the team at the AFA Foundation today. Call 800-326-4543, extension 345. That's 800-326-4543, extension 345. Or visit afafoundation.net.
Welcome back to Real Truth for Today. Pastor Jeff Shreve here. Well, you've been listening to a taped interview that we did earlier this week. Actually, we did it on Tuesday afternoon with Shonda Pierce. She was on the West Coast, and so an 8 a.m. Live time slot would have been 6 a.m. for her, and she has a late night job, and so that wasn't going to work, but we appreciated her taking the time to come on and just share about her life. And so we are live, and today is Thursday, March 16th. And in this final segment, we want to open up the phone lines, 888-589-8840. That's 888-589-8840. I'd love to talk to you about some of the things that Shonda was saying. You know, I think it's easy for us to look at someone who's very successful. Obviously, Shonda's extremely successful. And someone that goes out on stage and someone that seems just so comfortable as Shonda. I mean, she is very comfortable in her own skin. But sometimes we don't realize, hey, that person has a lot of difficulty in her life. And she has, you know, battles, as she said, battles with depression. And when she lost her mom, and the situation with her daughter is very painful, an estranged daughter, and then losing her husband some years ago, and his battle with alcoholism, and then thinking they were coming through that, and then he has a stroke and dies. Very, very difficult. So I had shared about her being at First Baptist Texarkana. That was one of the first meetings that she had after this time period of the her mother and her husband and all that. And that was the night that the clock was showing an hour behind on the stage. And so she went for 2 hours, and she just kind of talked through things. And she is not one of those comedians that has everything scripted out, obviously. She kind of goes with the flow and what seems to be coming into her heart and her mind at the time. She is a delightful person backstage because she's just fun. And she doesn't take herself too seriously. And I love that about her. And, you know, I love the fact that she is authentic. We have lots of Christians today who are not authentic. They play a role. They are like even pastors. I hate this when you see pastors that it's kind of like they're putting on the pastor hat. It's like, okay, I need to be the pastor now, so I need to talk this way. I need to conduct myself in this manner. And I tell people all the time, hey, you need to be genuine. You need to be you, because people, they can find on-ramps in your life when you're genuine and when you're true. And if you're the fake guy or fake woman who just, you know, acts like everything, you have everything all together, you never really have a problem, you're always the hero of your stories, people can't relate to that. And that's not true anyway. Here's what the scripture says. I go back to this passage of scripture often as I think through my own Christian life, as I preach. I think it's just so appropriate for today. And this is the message, 1 John chapter 1. And this is the message we have heard from him and announced to you, that God is light, and in him there is no darkness at all. If we say that we have fellowship with him and yet walk in the darkness, we lie and do not practice the truth. But if we walk in the light, that's it, everything is open. If we walk in the light as he himself is in the light, we have fellowship with one another. We have fellowship, us with God, and the blood of Jesus, his son, cleanses us from all sin. And listen, when we walk in the light, then we're genuine, we're honest, we're open, we're dealing with sin in our lives, because what person is there who doesn't have to deal with sin? Solomon said, indeed, there's not a righteous man on the earth who continually does good and who never sins. So all of us, from the greatest to the least, in terms of his or her walk with the Lord, we all have feet of clay, as my good friend Steve Brumbelow taught me. And nobody has arrived in the Christian life. The Christian life is not a destination. It's a journey. It's a walk with the Lord, step by step, day by day. Thy word is a lamp unto my feet and a light unto my path. And where does God shine his light? On the next step. If you've ever been in a dark, dark place, or some have been in a cave. I was in a cave in the Philippines, and had the guy turn off the light, and man, the darkness was just overwhelming. Well, in a dark, dark room, in a dark, dark cave, if you shine the light on your feet, then you see where to place your next step. God doesn't illuminate the whole cave. He doesn't show you everything in your life. He just, thy word is a lamp unto my feet and a light unto my path. And God says, here's the next step, here's the next step, here's the next step. If God told us everything in our lives from the time we got saved, okay, this is what your life is going to be, it would overwhelm us. And so he doesn't do that. And that's why the Christian life is called a walk with Christ. It's not a run with Christ. It's not a race with Christ. It's a walk. We walk with him. Now, we do have a race that's set before us, and we do, Hebrews chapter 12, therefore, since we have so great a cloud encompassing us, let us run with endurance the race that is set before us, fixing our eyes on Jesus, the author and perfecter of faith. But it's step by step, and it is a marathon. It's not a sprint. And, you know, you can go off a motion for just a while, and then, you know, real life is going to just grind you down. So it's just every day I fix my eyes on Jesus, the author and perfecter of faith. And I'm just honest. and I'm honest with people about my struggles, and I get people to pray for me, confess your sins to one another, and pray for one another, James says, so that you may be healed. The effectual, fervent prayer of a righteous man avails much. Well, I'd love to take your call. If you had a question about something Shonda said, obviously she's not here, but I am here. And the number to call is 888-589-8840. That's 888-589-8840. You know, the Bible tells us that even in laughter, the heart may be in pain. I think it's interesting that lots of comedians, I talked to the skit guys about this, lots of comedians have serious issues in their lives, and they don't necessarily share that on stage. But as Shonda said, you know, non-Christian comedians, they tend not always do this, but they tend to have problems with drugs and alcohol. Robin Williams, problems with serious problems with depression. He ends up taking his own life. And so what you see oftentimes is not what is really going on in the lives of famous people. We kind of look at those people, oh, if I could just have that, if I could do what they do, if I could have the things they have, if I was skilled like they're skilled. Be careful with that, because God didn't make you to do that. He made you to be you. Don't try and be somebody else. Just enjoy being you. Thank God for the things that He's given to you, and use the things He's given you for His glory. When I was in seminary, I still remember in preaching class, my professor, Dr. Wayne McDill, he said, Jesus told a parable, 5 talents, 2 talents, 1 talent, 3 of His slaves. To one He gave 5 talents, to one He gave 2 talents, to one He gave 1 talent. He said, guys, let's face it, in this room, there are some 5-talent guys that are going to pastor and preach, and there's some 2-talent guys, and there's some 1-talent guys. He said, what do you do if you're the 1-talent guy? Do you get mad at God and you say, God, why did you give my neighbor over here, why'd you give him 5 talents? Why'd you only give me 1 talent? Do you get angry and bitter? Do you bury your talent into the ground? Or do you use what God has given you for His glory? I contend that at the judgment seat of Christ, that's the final judgment for every believer, for we must all appear, 2 Corinthians 5:10, for we must all appear before the judgment seat of Christ. One of the questions at the judgment seat of Christ is going to be this: what did you do with what I gave you? What did you do with the gifts, the talents, and the blessings that I gave you? Did you use it for my glory? Did the 5 talents make 5 more? Did the 2 talents make 2 more? Or did you take the 1 talent and bury it in the ground? You don't want to be the one that buries the 1 talent in the ground. You want to use what the Lord has given you all for His glory. Well, we have Julie on the line from Arkansas. Julie, welcome to Real Truth for Today.
Yes, hi, Pastor Jeff. Thank you for taking my call. Sure. I love Shonda Pierce. She's a wonderful lady. I've listened to her over on our shows on the TV. And some time ago, I invited a friend. I thought, hey, let's go see this lady. Who is she? I said, well, she's a wonderful, funny comedian. She's a good Christian, good, clean comedy. So we went, got tickets. We went to a church in Joplin. And I have a severe hearing loss. And I just assumed, oh, well, we'll have speakers, and maybe it'll be loud enough and everything. But I went, and there wasn't any accommodations for people with hearing loss. So I was disappointed. I really could not hear her dialogue. Mm. And, so I just want to make that mention to her, if you would talk to her, to put all the next time she's going to be at a gathering, and to provide accommodations in some way that we could be able to be, you know, included in that. But I wish her the best. I identify her in so many ways. I'm a widow myself, raising and children, and had suffered difficulties. So it was a great show for my friend. She loved it. She lifted up, and she asked me, I said, did you hear any of that? I said, no, not really. Mm-hmm. I said, how did that make, you know, I realized, well, I'm used to it, you know, because, yeah, it hurts sometimes, but I understand, you know.
Yeah, I think most of that, with Julie, is probably the venue, and the venue needs to, I know at our church we have these loops that we give people that can, it kind of works with their hearing aid to make the spoken word and what is sung so that they can hear it better through their hearing aids. But I appreciate you sharing that, and I'm sorry that that happened. That would be very just deflating when you go with such great expectations of having a great night and then not being able to hear. But God bless you, my sister, and thank you for calling in today. Thank you for sharing that, and we need to be mindful of that. And I know for the hearing community, sometimes we don't think about that, and we need to. We need to make sure that people can hear and people can participate, even if you know, if their hearing is not good. So God bless you. Well, we have Ann on the line from Mississippi. Ann, welcome to Real Truth for Today.
Hello, thank you for having me. My question is, I've gone through depression off and on for years, and even had the S word, I hate to even say it, thoughts. Mm-hmm. And I wouldn't do it, of course, because of my grandchildren and my children. And the Lord got me through it, praise the Lord. But my daughter's encouraged me to share it with maybe small groups at church and that sort of thing, but I guess I'm just real hesitant, and I need some wisdom or advice on should I do that or how should I do it, and what all do you share and that sort of thing. How intimate do you get?
Yeah.
You know what I mean, probably.
Right. Yeah, that's a great question. Well, I would encourage you this way, Anne. I think that there is a lot of blessing and benefit that can come from that. I think you have to be at a place where you're on pretty solid ground, because if you share too quickly and you're not on solid ground, then you know, it's kind of like the person that shares about, hey, I was addicted to drugs and alcohol and God has set me free, and then the next week they have a big collapse. You know, that's not good. So I think you have to be on a good place. I would start small with that. I would start maybe with some smaller groups. You know, you share that with a couple of ladies that you trust, and then maybe it expands to a Bible study class of maybe 10 or 15 or something like that, and just get a feel for what you're saying, how you're saying it, how it's being received. But here's the thing, when we're honest about, hey, I have struggles, and this has been a constant struggle for me, and I'm asking you to pray for me, and I'm trusting God to bring healing in this area on a daily basis, because that's not something you just snap your fingers and now it's finished. And Shonda still struggles with that. As she said, you know, her issue with depression is not just over. She still has to fight that fight and show up for battle and trust the Lord. And so I will pray for you, Anne, and that God would give you wisdom, and that he would show you the next step he wants you to take to glorify him. I think we do, as we use our struggles and share our struggles, I think it gives us strength, and it really can help somebody else out in the audience who says, that person knows exactly what it's like to be me, and if they found help in the Lord, I can find help too. So thanks for calling in. I'm sorry, Scott and Josiah, that we didn't get to you. We're out of time. But thanks for listening today to Real Truth for Today. I'll be back again tomorrow talking about Calvinism and Arminianism with a noted professor. Don't go away.
The views and opinions expressed in this broadcast may not necessarily reflect those of the American Family Association or American Family Radio.